We are in the book of Ephesians. We've been looking at a series within a series. That here's the book of Ephesians is a book unto itself, a letter to Ephesus. And yet we come to the part where we've spent most of the time, and that is the armor of God. And that's really where we spent most of the issues. But this morning I want to try to recap again, as well as just to give us another form, but that we need to realize that we are in a battle. We can read God's word, and we can sometimes take it away from what really is important, what it really means. But we are in a battle, and we need to realize that. In Ephesians, it talks about that in the very chapter 6, verse 10. We talk about the Ephesians, the battle. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Now, we need to understand that there is a battle that goes on in the heavenly realm, the realm that we cannot see. And what we do does have an impact on that realm. We can see this in Ephesians. You can see this over that the angels watch over. And it says, in fact, and when we walk with God, as we take a stand, it says that the angels of heaven, okay, they see that. I don't understand it, but that's what God's word says. Now, there's two views of this. I grew up on this hand over here, and I was the type, and still to this day, though I've grown some to the impact, is that the extreme, is that they don't think there's any spiritual warfare. It's kind of like, okay, well, it's non-existent. It's kind of like, this is what God's word says, just do it, and there's nothing else that's going on. It's just, you make a choice, that's it. I grew up within that because it really wasn't something that we were going to talk about the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and all that, because it just brought up other things. So it was kind of like, okay, this is your life. This is God's word. This is the Bible. Live it. Go do it. There's no real battle. And yet that's not what God's word says. God's word says that there is a battle against us, that there is the schemes of the evil one, of the Satan, of the devil, that wants us to be sidelined, to be really disenchanted with faith, to be just to be destroyed in our faith. And yet this extreme over here kind of denies that battle. I was in that camp, grew up a lot of that. Okay, well, that's spiritual mumbo jumbo, you know. On the other side of this, the extreme, is over here where some of you, where you see a devil and a demon behind every rock or behind every chair. You walk in this morning and say, where am I going to get the biggest spiritual blessing from God today? Because he's going to rain down. As if there's some demon in some of these chairs. Some of you are, I guess. But, I mean, could be. Sorry. That was free. But within that we walk in this, and on this side we have that there's a demon behind everything. Everything. What am I going to eat for lunch today? Oh, man, the devil. And it comes back to the devil made me do it, and everything is spiritualized, and everything is, that's a spiritual battle going on in my life. Is there really, or is that just making a decision and doing what you need to do? Do we make it a spiritual battle? Is there really the spiritual going on? And these people over here, they get all amped up, everything. They live in the Spirit. Now, we are a community church. We have both sides. We have those. Some of you are here. You're over here, and you get offended when I say that. That, man, you just, you know, and you're going to get more offended as I go on here a little bit. Warning. So, you know, you live in this, like everything is in this spiritual realm, this spiritual warfare realm. And we have some in our church who are over here and say it's hogwash, you know, you just live, do what you need to do. God says do it, do it. Don't make everything some big spiritual battle. God doesn't really care about some of that stuff that you want him to, that we think he cares about. He doesn't care where you sit here, but that you're here. And so there's both sides of that spectrum. I mean, I often said we're a museum, we're a hospital, but we've graduated now, and we're really a zoo. Our people are a zoo. We have every kind of animal in this place. And so and today, even within this, as we're talking about this spiritual battle, you need to go back and say, where is the balance here within this? There is definitely a spiritual battle, he tells us, which is why we are putting on the armor of God. The very reason that we put on the armor of God is to stand against the evil schemes that want to destroy us. But you also need to deal in reality that there's some things that have nothing to do with a spiritual battle. It's just obedience. And over here, there's some things that have a lot to do with spiritual battle. There's so much more going on that you may not see. Now, as we come to the armor of God, we have to talk about, and really the armor of God is built upon the weapons that we have. And that's what the armor of God is really talking about, that we stand to take a stand And that's the whole purpose. The weapons that we have is that you may be able to stand against the onslaught of this battle because you are being attacked to be sidelined, to be inconsequential in the kingdom of God. To have no impact in really the kingdom of enhancing the kingdom of God here on earth. And as some days we look to the kingdom of God that is to come. So he gives us these weapons. We talked about the belt of truth, that the truth of the word, that there is absolute truth, and that absolute truth is based in God's word. It's not relativistic, it's not subjective, it is absolute truth, and those things that we stand on. Tied to that was the best breastplate of righteousness that we put on over us. That righteousness that comes, it's imputed and imparted to us. You don't stand on the belt of truth and with this breastplate of your righteousness because we have none. You and I, we have no righteousness, really. Oh, we have acts of kindness. We have acts that are good and acts of righteousness, but there's nothing in us, nothing in us that would bridge that gap between God and me. Nothing. I don't have that. What bridges the gap is not my righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness given to me on that cross. Free, given as a gift. And so we have the belt of truth that says Jesus came, that he died for our sin, that we might have life if we just trust in him. He then gives us that righteousness that he gives to us, that breastplate of righteousness, his righteousness. And so, yes, behind that is an unrighteous person, but boy, his righteousness covers us. We then talked about the as Pastor Paul brought us to the talking about our footwear, what the feet that are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, ready to go and to share that gospel. We talked about the shield of faith, how that is our stronghold, that shield that they would hold, and the issue that it was to protect from every, it said, if you have that shield of faith, if you live in faith, it will protect you from every fiery arrow. We looked at the issue that some people say, well, I don't need to go to church. I don't really need to be involved with the people of church. The armor of God deals a lot with the body of Christ here. And I hear often, well, I can blow church off. It's no big deal. That's great. And you may have a shield of faith. I pray you use that shield of faith. But the purpose here is I'd like to see you go into battle against all the fiery schemes of the evil one alone. Because the purpose of the shield was that they could come together and we could stand together as a body of Christ, put our shields together and make a wall, a covering. That shield of faith that we all should carry. The issue that we live by faith. Pastor Paul talked about the helmet of salvation that we wear, that God saved us. We talked about the issue of that, of the sword of the word, that we know the word, we're in the word, and what the word says about us. As just thinking about weaponry. And as I just kind of conjured on it and thought about it and was just as I prepared for today, I thought of the weapons of war. War is a terrible thing. I don't care what side you land on any of it. It's just terrible, period. But there's weapons of war. And I thought back to Hiroshima and the dropping of the bomb and how it just devastated the land and the people. And we went through and are in a nuclear age where we are afraid of somebody's fingers on the button. And I remember back, and I couldn't recall it, so I Googled it and read it, but I remember that especially in the war in Iraq and through caves and tunnels and all that kind of stuff, they talked about dropping the Moab. Any of you remember the Moab? You remember him talking about dropping Moab? I guess the servicemen, according to what I read, I remember the name Moab, that's why I went and Googled it, because it was supposedly a big old bomb. And the Moab was as I read, the servicemen called it the mother of all bombs, and I thought, Moab, that's what it means. But that's really not what it means, it was just the name given it. It actually means the massive ordnance air blast. And I guess it destroys by the concussion and the flow of air. Just wipes out things, just poof. And the reason they like that massive ordnance air blast is because according to their thought is that all the caves and things people were hiding in and keeping, that when they dropped the Moab, all of those would be leveled. It would just, concussion would seal the caves. It would just collapse the caves. Now, according to my research, we never dropped the Moab. And in response to the Moab, another country has come up with, I guess, Phoab, father of all bombs, now that's four times more powerful than the Moab, and then it's going to come to Poppyab, because poppies are more, grandpas are more important than anybody, and that's going to be the big bomb. But I was thinking about that and the weaponry and the bombs that we have. The most powerful bombs the most powerful bombs that we've not used that could destroy the world, really. Fortunately, we haven't used that. But this morning, I really want to talk to you about the mother of all bombs, the father of all bombs, the biggest bomb that we have in the arsenal of our weaponry. The greatest battle, the all power that we have. The all power that we can have in every situation. We can use it in every situation. Ephesians 6:18 tells us that. It says to pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, he be alert and always keep on praying for all of the saints. So he comes to this armor of God. He says, you put on all these things. And then he comes and he says, to pray. Put on all this stuff. And then he says, to pray. The greatest weapon we have to stand against the evil, to stand to protection, to stand is to pray. It's the greatest tool, the weapon that we have. And yet, as easy as it is to use, sometimes we just don't use it, do we? That which is easy sometimes just kind of gets put on the shelf, maybe as we see it as unimportant. And at first he says to pray always. To pray always. Now, to us that may not be any big deal. But to them it was a great deal. Because the Jewish people, as in other faiths, the Jewish people had times of prayer that they were called to pray. And this was revolutionary because he's saying, no, you pray always. Don't wait for, you know, here, okay, now I can pray. You know, God's out for lunch, and when he comes back in, I can pray to him. You know, or come back with the doctor's in, now you can see him. He's saying pray always. Not just a prescribed time of prayer during the day. And with the new covenant came this new change in dimension. The reality that God wanted to be a part of your daily life, moment by moment. That he wants to be a part, intimate part of our life. They were not just to pray at prescribed times, but at all times and in every situation. In every situation. Even as the issue, and I think Pastor Paul hit upon this at one point, we were talking about our Father, that God wants to be our Father. As we do the Lord's Prayer, and many of you know it, from those of you who come from the Catholic background, our Father with art in heaven. And yet in many cases it's become ritualistic material, you know, it's just ritual, we say it. And that the reality is that was revolutionary because again, it was taking God as some cosmic, out there, supreme being way out there, that was, yeah, there's a God, but he doesn't want to be involved in our life. And Jesus was saying, no, you pray, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, I want to be as a father to you, daily engaged in your life. And so this was saying, you pray always. There's never a time you stop and just say, okay, I'll pray at 4. I'll pray always. And this is talking about a lifestyle of prayer. That's what he's talking about here, a lifestyle. This is not a formal prayer. It's not a ritualistic prayer. It's not mechanical. It's not repeated. It's not meaningless repetition that the Bible guards us about. It is to live in a continual mindset of considering God. That's really what praying continually is. To live in the mindset of considering God. A God consciousness, if you will. It is seeking the wonder of God in every moment. It is seeking what God may have in that moment. It is asking God before anything else. It is trusting God before we panic. It is giving it to God before we attempt to fix and control. It is saying, God, my first thought will be to give it to you. It's the lifestyle of prayer. And that sounds easy, doesn't it? But why is it so hard for us to do? Because immediately, and many of you know who know me, that it's hard for me to do. I'm learning that because I have this big R tattooed on my chest. It says rescuer. And man, when something happens, I want to rescue. I want to run right in and rescue. That's what I want to do. And sometimes I need to take off that little line down there for the R and have a big old P on my chest that says, pray. Just pray. Give it to God before Bible Billy runs in and tries to have the answer. Just stop. Pray. God, give me your perspective. God, show yourself in this area. God, how can I bring glory to you in this process? God, usually my prayer is, God, what in the heck am I doing? That's usually my prayer. He says to have a lifestyle of seeking and trusting him. And he tells us how to do that. And he says to pray in the Spirit. Now listen, I personally don't read this contextually as having anything to do, and I know there are those who would adhere to the issue of speaking in tongues. This context has nothing to do with that. Nothing whatsoever. It can't be used as a proof text for that. It's not speaking in, it's to the church, it's not speaking in some unknown language. It's not speaking in tongues or in some other dramatic fashion. In fact, you couldn't do that if you were going to pray continually. Think about that. As Thessalonians says, to pray continually. If you did any of those dramatic fashion prayers continually, you would probably be locked up, or they'd think, you know, in the middle of Target or Save Mart, that person's either having a fit or having a seizure or whatever. Something's wrong. He's not talking about that at all. He's not talking about a spiritual gift of prayer. He is talking about in the Spirit. It is in the Spirit is to pray in concert, in harmony with the Spirit of God that dwells in our life. That He tells us how we are to pray. He gives us how to pray. He says that we pray. The Spirit of God never glorified Himself. Never, ever. You will never find in the Word where the Spirit of God glorifies Himself. In fact, you will only find in God's Word where the Spirit of God glorified the Son. And when we pray in the Spirit, we are praying, God, how can this situation and I'm in it bring glory to You? Because I may not see it. This situation, this thing may really stink. I don't see how it's going to be. When I pray in the Spirit, I'm saying, God, I'm giving control to You. I'm praying in harmony with the Spirit of God. And there's times, as Romans 8 says, that I don't even know what to pray. I don't even know what to say. God, I'm just confused, or I'm mad, I'm angry, or I'm hurt, I'm disillusioned. And He says the Spirit of God utters those words for us. And that's when we pray in the Spirit. We're not praying in some dramatic fashion or closing our eyes, driving down the road, or doing something. It is that we have we are considering God. God, I need to see how You can be demonstrated Your glory in this situation. Think about how our situations would change. It's the very first prayer of our lips. And no matter what we face was, God, I'm going to trust You. And I'm going to wait and see in the wonder of this how You can be glorified. Whoo, if we could really do that. If we could really say, God, I'm just going to wait and I'm going to wait to see You and Your works on display. And when He talks about praying in the Spirit to live in that harmony, or to under the influence, the words to say, that He's interceding for us in behalf of that. It's seeking His will. It's trusting His will. Instead of trying to control, which often we do. We try to fix it first. We try to control it first. Or we try to tell God, God, this is the way my prayer needs to be answered. This is how You need to answer that prayer. Sometimes all of those are wrong. He also says to be focused. Be focused. He says pray specifically. And in this passage as well, when He talks about it, He says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the saints. Be alert. Be on guard. There is a battle. It's easy to say, okay, I'm not going to pray first. I'm going to worry first. I'm not going to pray first. I'm going to move first. I'm going to make a phone call first. He says, be alert, be on guard, endure, and pray. But He says, we are to be praying for all the other saints. Guess what? The person in the row with you there, they are facing the same spiritual battles. They need the armor of God just like you do. And there needs to come a point when we are not self-consumed in praying for ourselves all the time, but that we are aware spiritually of what others may need and how we can pray for them in the battle that they are facing. And some people need to have that view changed because they are so self-consumed. It's always about pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. And that you ever wonder, are you in touch at all with where others may need you to pray for them and how they can be prayed for? Do you listen? Do you sense that? Be focused that we're praying for others that come alongside, that we bear each other's burdens, we pray for each other who are facing the same battle that we're facing. The power of prayer. Man, I'm telling you, that is what we need to understand. The power of prayer. Listen. The power of prayer is in the power of the one you're praying to. You with me? The power of prayer is in the one you're praying to. It's not in you. I used the analogy last service that there's people who prayed all kinds of stuff. There's spiritualists who pray over here. They pray to everything. They're naming that chair to get the demon away from it. You know, they pray for that. Okay. But the power of prayer is in the power of the one you're praying to. Analogy last service, I used the light bulb. Oh, I know there's power in that light bulb, but there's not real power in that light bulb. You can pray that light bulb. Pray, 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 pray. You can turn it on and off, pray. But the real power is in the one you're praying to. And that's the God of this universe. This morning, as Anisha mentioned, how many of you were up early this morning? Get up early? Man, did you look at that sunrise? Did you see those clouds that were in the sky? I mean, I actually stopped this morning and I love sunrises. For me, it's my own personal promise. It's a new day. His mercies are new today. His grace is sufficient today. He says He will give me what I need for this day. Not tomorrow, for this day. I love the sunrises. I know people, especially when I walk, the people, you know, I'm sure they see me and people are driving by. And mid mornings as I'm walking, I got my phone out and I'm taking a picture every morning of the sunrise. And I'm sure they wonder, why does he do that every morning? Because every morning it's real. There's times I'm taking pictures, there's no sun to be seen because it's all cloud. But guess what? I know that behind those clouds, the sun rose. And this morning as I saw this beautiful sunrise, and on this side you saw the sun and the image was just coming up, and on the bottom of the clouds you could see all the color and the oranges and the pinks and the hues, all that. And yet you look over here and those clouds had some vapor in them, I guess, or water, something. And you could see the color on the bottom of them. The top was gray and dark. And the bottom was just on the color was just on the bottom of them. I don't know the physics of all that. I don't really care about the physics of all that. I saw the beauty of it. I thought, that's the God of creation, the God of that sunrise, the God of the universe who creates us, the God who gives you new life, the God who can change a life. That God wants to be involved intimately in yours and my life. That is the power by which we're praying to. We are praying to the God of the universe. We have the Spirit of God. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior today, He says that He's made you a new creation, and the Spirit of God is dwelling within you. And as we pray in the Spirit, as we move in the Spirit, as we consider God, as we start praying, our heart starts to see the perspective that God has. We start to focus on God. We start to focus on what His face is. We start to focus on those things about Him. And when we start to pray, God, You take control of the situation. What helps us is that we begin to open to His perspective. We begin to see His perspective. We begin to see what He may have. And we step back and have a perspective of, God, I can't control this. I don't want to control this. I can't fix this, only You can. But God, I know that You can. I can trust in that. And the powerful prayer that we have, the powerful weapon we have, is to pray for those around us and to pray in the Spirit that God knows our heart, that will never, that He will hear us, that He will listen to us. To see His perspective. Do we pray? Oh, I know, it's not just that, you know, yep, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay God type thing. Do we sit and do we really pray? Do we have that lifestyle of prayer? I don't mean that you have to sit there for hours. Man, I remember listening to these guys, great prayer warriors. I have friends who do seminars on prayer. That's all they do, seminars on prayer. And I'm glad they have time to sit and pray all day. I mean, that's great. But most of us have lives. But we need to live that lifestyle of considering God in every event that comes into our life. That's what living and consistently praying is about. Considering God. And asking God to give us His perspective. And when we do that, we begin to see His face and become easier within that. I grew up in a home. And I remember it didn't make any sense to me then. It really didn't mean that much to me then. But I would often hear my mom sing. Didn't mean a thing to me back then. I'd catch her unawares. She didn't care. And there was a consistent little song that she would sing. I probably heard that song every day. Didn't matter much to me at that time. I just thought she's loving to sing. As I got older, I started to realize that really that's what prayer focuses on. And it's the prayer, and it's that song that all of a sudden, and some of you who are older will know it well. Some of you youngins probably never heard it until now. But I would catch her at the kitchen, doing laundry, getting ready to go to work, wherever. And you could tell it was a prayer. It wasn't just a song. And it went like this.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Father, I pray this morning that that would be our prayer, that we would see Your face. That our first response to every situation and every trial is to use the most powerful weapon that we have, and that is prayer. To consider You, to consider what You would have and what You would have us do. Father, help us to trust in You. Help us to not fear. God, help us to use prayer as the armor of God as well. May we leave this place changed, trusting in You and not trying to control. For it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.